Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank their creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the post-mortem crucifixion of Breonna Taylor. A plea deal was offered the ex-boyfriend of Breonna Taylor if he said Breonna Taylor is a part of his drug organization. It's been about 5 months that passed, and no one has been arrested and charged with the murder of Breonna Taylor. Strangely enough, it is Breonna Taylor that they are trying to convict of a crime. For those who don't know, Breonna Taylor is a black woman, and she was shot by three white police officers in Louisville, Kentucky, in her home. She was unarmed in the hallway with her boyfriend. So here's the story, the short version. I think around March 13, 2020, between somewhere like 12:45, 1:45, sometime like that, in Louisville, Kentucky, Breonna Taylor, and 26-year-old emergency room technician, was shot 8 times and killed when police forcefully entered her home while serving a no-knock search warrant. Police stated they knocked several times on the door and announced themselves as police officers serving a warrant. After hearing no response, they knocked the door all down, right? That's a no-knock. So, you know, it's a no-knock. That's what happened at the end of the no-knock part of the warrant. Police said the officers forced entry into the exterior door using a battering ram to break the door open. That's like a pole, right? And were immediately met with gunfire. Literally one shot. Okay. Mr. Kenneth Walker, Ms. Teller's boyfriend, said he and Ms. Taylor had been in bed and heard aggressive banging at the door and asked who it was a couple of times, right? But they didn't hear an announcement that it was the police. They didn't get in. They said they didn't hear a response at all, right? Licensed firearm carrier, Mr. Kenneth Walker, fired one shot at a downward angle, which wounded one of the officers in the leg, they said, right? He stated he didn't know it was the police, right? Because banging the doors late at night, I'm just waking up, and I go to my front door, and my door is being knocked off the hinges, right? Walker was arrested and later released. He is not facing criminal charges at this time. On June 23rd, the Louisville Metro Police Department released a letter of termination that it sent to Brent Hankinson, the former officer who blindly fired 10 rounds into a covered patio door and a window, according to the termination letter. So he was out, he didn't even see a target. He just started blasting, spraying. Brent Hankinson was fired. The other officers involved in the case, John Matley and Miles Cosgrove, were placed on administrative reassignment. None of the officers faced criminal charges. So I just covered Breonna maybe 3 weeks ago, tops. So neither one of them heard the other answer or call out. So apparently it's possible that neither one of them heard the other. No arrest was made after Hankinson shot blindly into the property. That means it's not a crime for law enforcement to blindly shoot into a building. He has no imminent threat in his view. He could kill anyone. Don't try this at home, kids. You will be sought for arrest, prosecution, conviction, and some prison time. If any of your bullets cause the death of someone, you will be labeled a mad, mindless, killing dog worthy of life or death in prison. Trust me. From the New York Times, reporter said that, and report said the police incident report contained multiple errors. It listed Ms. Taylor's injuries as none, even though she had been shot at least 8 times. And indicated that police had not forced their way into the apartment, though they used a battering ram, right? That's confusing to me, because if that, I don't know, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, I don't have boots on the ground, so this is a second, third hand information. If the report did not state Breonna was killed and no force was used to enter the home, can we really trust the testimony of these officers? I mean, can we? Can we trust what they say? I find it hard to believe they would file such an obvious false report. According to the New York Times, they did. The word error can be used to imply that something unintentionally occurred. Again, a psychological attempt to dictate the narrative and a smokescreen to soften the act of lying and incompetence. That's if the police use that term. And the newspapers, actually. Because if the papers use it, it's still softening the what actually happened. It's hard to error about killing somebody and breaking, knocking a door down. You cannot mistakenly leave out of a report the tragedy that took place. They rammed the door in and shot unarmed Breonna Taylor 8 times, killing her. If they left that out, it was left out purposely. From CNN, Kenneth Walker stated, said he shot once. He fired, it was meant as a warning shot. As they say, he shot downward, right, in a downward projection. That's why that man was shot in the leg. Officer was shot in the leg. It was later that he realized it was police officers. When he surrendered to police, Walker said one officer asked him, had he been hit? When he said no, Walker told investigators the officer responded, that's unfortunate. Walker also said that on the way to the police station that night, an officer had characterized the raid to him as a misunderstanding. So, now, there was no evidence that Breonna Taylor was involved in her ex-boyfriend Jamarcus Glover's drug organization, because Mr. Walker was her recent boyfriend. The guy that they were associating Breonna with was a guy by the name of Jamarcus Glover. Her home was referred to as a soft target. No drugs were found in the property. Jamarcus Glover and her had broke up about a month and a half ago. By now, we can see a pattern when it comes to defending police and demonizing citizens. Lie, fabricate, and demonize the victim, especially when they use excessive lethal force on a case. There is also an issue with how police obtained the no-knock warrant for Breonna Taylor's home based on a non-verifiable postal information that the U.S. Postal Inspector was involved in an investigation in the case regarding Mr. Glover's drugs to the post office to Miss Taylor's home. Offering a plea deal or bribe to implicate Breonna Taylor in his criminal organization sounds like an attempt to justify the no-knock search warrants, which might make the use of lethal force justified, but it can't justify firing blindly into the home. Because they had not just went into the Breonna Taylor's home. It is a blatant abuse and misuse of authority and resources. If the New York Times article is true, it is apparently worth Glover walking out some time instead of actually doing time. That's very valuable to them. That's very valuable information. Criminalize this deceased person. The plot thickens and validates why we cannot trust that justice will be served, at least not on the Taylor's platter. That is just the lowest. No, one of the lowest things a DA could encourage. Mr. Glover, Brianna's ex-boyfriend, is the main suspect in the case, and he is in police custody. Brianna Taylor is deceased, and you cannot convict a dead person. So what benefit could such a false statement provide? These people are so used to doing what they want to do and getting away with it that they just can't help themselves. This is indicative of corruption not being just a case of a few bad apples in law enforcement. It is indicative of a systemic and culture phenomenon. This is a problem. From U.S. and the Griot. Brianna Taylor's ex-boyfriend, that's Mr. Glover, Jamarcus Glover, was offered a plea deal if he would claim Taylor was part of the organized crime syndicate that they say he was a part of. So, Jamarcus Taylor turned down the plea deal to implicate Brianna Taylor in the crimes, in his alleged crimes, because he's not convicted of anything yet, right? Jamarcus Taylor, Jamarcus Glover, Taylor's ex-boyfriend, was the focus of the no-knock raid, which took her life. He pled not guilty to drug charges. Court records indicate that prosecutors were willing to give him a plea deal if he were to implicate Taylor in his alleged crime. Court records, they say, indicated that. So they say that's documented. Global was given an offer by the Jefferson Commonwealth Attorney Office on July 13th to avoid a 10-year prison sentence and be sentenced to possible probation. This guy that shot a cop in the leg. So something is worth a lot to the Jefferson Commonwealth. Something is stirring here. In return for leniency, he was required to admit he and co-defendants were involved in a drug trafficking operation in Louisville, Kentucky, through April the 22nd. According to the court records, the crime syndicate sold drugs from an abandoned warehouse and vacant houses in Louisville. Taylor, 26, lives just 10 miles away. According to court records, that's very important to understand, and how they language that, Taylor lived just 10 miles away. Sam Aguilar, attorney representing Taylor's family in the wrongful death lawsuit, said Glover, 30, turned down the plea deal. An attorney representing the Taylor family in the wrongful death lawsuit blasted officials for the length, to which those within the police department and the Commonwealth attorney went to after Brianna Taylor's killing to try to paint a picture of her, which was vastly different than the woman she truly was. The fact that they would try to even represent that she was a co-defendant in a criminal case more than a month after she died is absolutely disgusting. I'm in agreement with him. Because they didn't represent her like that on the case. She was a soft target. If she was a co-defendant, she should have been, she shouldn't even been seen as a soft target. Anyway, this just 10 miles away suggests that 10 miles is a short distance when actually it is a far distance. It is an attempt to connect Brianna to the drug organization and its operations by proximity. That may not verify a connection to some of us, but for someone who is trying to suggest or establish a connection just a few miles away can be used or perceived as a close in proximity. Circumstantial evidence and impact on a decision, opinion. It's simply a trick of the trade to establish that something is what it isn't. And we've been seeing a lot of that. It's not what you see from your angle or his. You got to see it from his angle. Here's what really happened. Or, you know, you're looking right at it and it's like, yo. Anyway. So that's the kind of cloak and magic tricks they pulling nowadays. It's not even a magic trick because it's like somebody doing a trick that doesn't work and they're still telling you that it occurred. Anyway, again, they are simply saying the magic word to create and control the narrative, steer the investigation, and set up the outcome at the end of the trial, if there is one. More proof that prosecutors are not vested, or at least these prosecutors, are not vested in investigating police misconduct or the murder of Breonna Taylor. They're simply attempting to give the appearance that they are conducting an investigation, but the objective of their investigation is to find the police officers not guilty and to scapegoat the name and reputation of the murdered victim. They really don't care about who is guilty. They're going to let, they think that Glover had a drug ring. They want to let him walk to get probation after he shot a cop and sold drugs in the city in an organized crime, ring. That's unheard of right there. The only thing they care about is making sure that these hero cops remain this side of a prison wall. Isn't it obstruction of justice for a prosecutor to fabricate a story, coerce a suspect to testify in validation of the fabricated story for the promise of not receiving prison time, a reduction of prison time, or whatever? Glover is a witness in a murder case against the police. It has to be a criminal offense to bribe the testimony of a witness. Oh, that is bribery and obstruction. I guess DAs are above the law. I checked the judicial notebook from the American Psychological Association. In the United States, prosecution obtained a criminal conviction using evidence that it knows is false. The conviction violates the defendant's constitutional right to due process. That's it. Nupe versus Illinois, 1959. United States versus Foster, 1988. United States versus LaPage, 2000. In other jurisdictions, however, the government can knowingly present false testimony about a significant issue without any obligation to correct it, as long as the government did not conceal evidence that the defendant could use to impeach the false testimony. That is in United States versus Stein, 2017, United States versus Crockett, 2006, and Rawls versus Hine, 1980. If that sounds crazy to y'all, I feel fine, because it sounds real crazy to me. Because that's a contradiction. Now, Breonna is dead and cannot defend herself. That is more the reason to give false statement, because the accused is deceased. She will not do any time because law enforcement can't punish her, because they punched her clock 8 times. It is an example of how unjust and illogical the law can be. To knowingly allow false testimony is an act of corruption and dishonesty. Then you are to trust that these liars will provide you with evidence to impeach their false testimony. Is that bizarre or not? Is it me or does that sound crazy? What kind of double devil talk is that? To provide evidence to impeach the false testimony is as backwards because it requires that someone defend themselves against something that is known to be false, which means false testimony can be used against someone. It's another reason why you cannot trust the judicial system. If they operate like that, you can't trust them. How about taking the prosecutor to court with whoever conjured up the false testimony about Brianna's criminal involvement in an organized crime syndicate? That's that RICO stuff. Come, and they about to let this guy walk if he just say she's a part of it. What's up with that? That's like a 1,000 red flags right there. In short, they are coercing a suspect to lie in support of the case for the police department. That should definitely be a crime. You can ask for information, but you can't fabricate information and tell them what to say. Come on, that's ridiculous. Of course, I don't have boots on the ground. I don't have all the story. But if they did that, a crime has been committed. If they do that, they are constantly in the habit of committing this crime. That is defamation of character, bearing false witness, perjury, and bribery, all forms of obstruction. Maybe they thought Glover would frame Brianna because they had recently broke up and she has a new boyfriend. Maybe they hoped he'd be all in his feelings and in an effort to save his own skin, he would perjure himself while smearing shit on Brianna's memory. What kind of bitch do they think Glover is? An offer of probation to defame Brianna is to help free law enforcement from accountability, conviction, and punishment. As if they needed help anyway. I mean, cause they're not going to jail. They're not going to jail unless they're going to visit somebody or transport somebody to a jail somewhere. At under some employment that requires for them to do that. Is this how they practice law in Kentucky? In the United States, corruption breeds corruption, animosity, distrust, and disdain for law enforcement, the judicial system, and of course, more protesting, rioting, and looting. We've got to put an end to the slickery, the trickery that these people are doing, showing favoritism, lying, just basically lying just to get what they want done, just because you had the power to do so and the other person doesn't have any power, doesn't have even the knowledge of what's going on or what happened to them. The only thing they can be sure of is that they're incarcerated. And they have charges, they're facing charges. It really doesn't matter if you think they are inappropriate, ineffective methods or not. The protest and rioting and looting, it doesn't matter what you think about it. History has shown us they are the result of just these kinds of police and judicial misconducts. Come on now. It's been going on since, what's that, the Boston Tea Party. They probably had something before that, a couple of them before that. That's the one we know about. Come on. Continue from the griot. Glover told Louisville Courier-Journal police were attempting to shift the narrative around her death. Glover believes that law enforcement is now blaming him for their action. Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, Detective Miles Cosgrove, and former Detective Brett Hankinson were the officers involved in the shooting. Hankinson has since been fired from the Louisville Police Department, as I previously stated. The police are trying to make it out to be my fault and turning the whole community out here making it look like I brought this to Brianna's door, Glover said. There was nothing, never there, or anything ever there. And at the end of the day, they went about it the wrong way and lied on that search warrant. This is what the brother is saying, Glover, the defendant in the case, and shot that girl out there, right? See, it's not rocket science. So even Glover conceded the DA, to see the DA's diabolical plot and corruption. This DA is working for the three police shooters. As previously reported by the Griot, Glover denied any wrongdoing when he used her address to receive packages like clothes, socks, you know, whatever. What things that people should receive in the mail, you know what I'm saying? Nothing illegal. He said, Glover said, nothing ever been illegal there, he told the courier. Getting shoes and clothes coming through the mail is not illegal. Nothing illegal at all. See, because they thought this man was on running drugs through the mail, they should have had some dogs on that. Glover said to his child's mother on recorded jailhouse calls that while Teller had been holding money for him, the money was for phone bills. And that he believed that she became implicated in his alleged crimes because she bailed him out of jail. He said, I don't understand how they going to serve a warrant for Bree House, bruh. Glover says to a man on another call from jail, how is it they serve a warrant for Bree House and nothing tied me to Bree House at all besides these bonds? The only thing he had tied was those jail bonds. He got out of jail, right? So he added that the police had no reason to search her home. This is Glover. This is the suspect saying it. This is how obvious this thing is. But got a feeling somebody's going to make it. It's not what you see. It's not what it appears to be. You know, he went on and said, you know, Brianna didn't deserve that. Police also believe incorrectly that Teller was home alone and unarmed while conducting surveillance on her home, right? They had a guy conducting surveillance who informed the police that she's in there by herself. She was in there with her boyfriend who was armed. So anyway, they said that the Commonwealth Attorney Tom Wine did not respond to requests for comment from the WDRB, but some believe that Glover was offered the plea deal in order for police to evade accountability in her death, in Brianna's death. That's what Louisville defense attorney Ted South said. Because she is destroying them, and they want Jamarcus Glover to do it for them because their efforts have failed. So they offer him a bribe, basically. All you have to do is smear her. What harm could he be doing? She's dead. She ain't gonna feel it, right? Anyway. They said that the Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron says that his department now has a full report about the guns and the shots fired in Brianna Teller's apartment, although the new information still leaves the case inconclusive. So, I mean, what conclusion are you trying to reach? You got three guys that say shot, one shot blindly. One admit to shooting blindly. When they admit shot blindly, and two said were in the house, they shot. And we're going to get to that too, you know. In an interview with CBS, Faith the Nation, Cameron said he had waited weeks for an FBI ballistics report. However, he still needs more information to file charges against the officers who killed her. That's plural, because we had one guy was fired and two guys are on reassignment, right? From WFMY News 2, Sergeant John Mattingly said in a police interview that he fired a total of 6 rounds. And he was in the house. That's the guy who got shot in the leg, right? Miles Cosgrove also fired shots from inside the apartment. Brett Hankinson blindly fired 10 rounds from outside through a patio door, according to his termination letter. That's what the police is saying what he did. That's why he's fired. Not fired because of Brianna. He's fired because he fired blindly. He didn't see nothing. He just let off 10 rounds, right? Started cracking. Okay. So we know we got one guy shooting 10 rounds. Another guy, I'll say, he fired shots. So he fired at least 2. That's at least 18 rounds these guys saying that they're reporting that were fired. Now, some say it was 20 rounds fired. If he's fired 10, he fired 6. That means Cosgrove had to fire at least 4 shots. So, then you don't have a full, he doesn't have a full report. You have ballistic report about the guns and the ammunition fired in Brianna's apartment. He should be revealing what bullets struck Brianna and from whose gun did they come from. Let's hear it. Come on, what is a ballistic report? I mean, what's the use of having that? You know what I'm saying? Mattingly shot 6 times. It's true. And all 6 hit Brianna. He and someone else, Cosgrove or Hankinson, could have shot and killed Brianna. Could be responsible for that, right? Cosgrove fired shots, he said. He can't. How you don't remember how many shots he fired? Then they check the gun after the shooting. They check your gun, see how many bullets you have in it. If it holds 11 and you got, you know what I'm saying, you got 2 missing, you fired, you know, you got 9 in there, you fired 2. I don't get it. How this man don't know, a police officer don't know how many rounds he fired. And Cosgrove fired shots from inside the house. Inside the house means you are in there taking fire, right? You in the house. He shot when y'all came to the door, right? So he fired from inside the house. That is at least 2. He could be shooter number 2 with Mattingly or Hankinson, who fired 10 shots. Hankinson fired 10 shots. He could be the lone killer or of Brianna, or all 3 could have shot her simultaneously. We don't know. Right? Again, I question, how come the civilian is the only one who showed restraint under extreme duress, making a split second decision, right? Firing his weapon and not firing his weapon, right? He only shot 1 time. If it was such an intense, life-threatening situation and required split-second decision-making, how is it that the civilian, Walker, who was being shot at least 18 times, has a state of mind to fire downwards and only once, with the intent not to cause a fatal injury? To warn, he said. In the house is very close proximity. And I wonder if Mattingly and Cosgrove really looked at their target. It sounds like even though they were inside the home, they shot blindly in the home. That would account for why the armed Walker was not hit, and Brianna was hit 8 times. because Mattingly and Cosgrove did not look. They just shot. You can see guys doing that on the street. They just shoot. They running and they shooting. Oh, they ain't trying to look back. They just spraying them behind them, hoping that get whatever they can get, whatever effect they can get that person off of them. Anyway, I don't know, because how do you explain guys saying this guy shot at me, shot me, and I shot 6 times, not one of the inside the house. Y'all know how close that is? He shot 6 times in the house, and the other guy shot 2 to 4 times, and he only shot 1 time. You're responding after that one shot. That means no one was shooting at these guys when they were shooting. So, what were they aiming at? Who were they aiming at? Were they even aiming at all, or were they, Mattingly and Cosgrove, recklessly shooting in the house? Sounds like all three officers made a split decision to recklessly shoot in the home. That's what it sounds like to me. How else could they miss the one person they say, right, they were returning fire at? How else could they do that? Because not only did the, what's the guy's name, Covington, what's his name? Not only did Hankinson not look at, see a target, sounds like nobody actually saw a target when they were actually shooting. Walker only fired once. They were also responding to their own multiple gunfire, which may have given them the impression that they were in a gunfight past the only shot fired by Walker. Fear would cause someone to just shoot recklessly, target in sight or no target in sight. Fear, hatred, disdain, and lack of value for the life of someone increases the risk of being killed in a hail of bullets. Reckless endangerment, and that kind of fits the bill for a reckless endangerment and manslaughter, at least. From the BBC. The mayor said, Hankinson, one of the three officers involved in the shooting would lose his badge. The others have been placed on administrative leave. Okay, because they're under investigation. Anybody under investigation, right? Hankinson accused of firing blindly on Tim Browns, right? The attorney for the family said they want to see the other officers fired as well. And based on the concept of firing recklessly, which it appears that's what these guys did. Because look, the man only shot once. If you only shoot 1 time at me, and I'm shooting 6 times at you, I'm going to hit you in a house. Like you know, you're not going to, you know, I'm not going to shoot your girlfriend. I'm going to get you because you got the gun. I'm not going to shoot your girlfriend 8 times. I'm going to get you with the gun. So it almost seems like these guys didn't even look at their target. They just went blasting in the house. Because you're in a house, you're in close proximity, and if you point and shoot, you're going to hit something. And they hit something. They hit Brianna. Anyway. The Louisville Council voted unanimously in favor of banning no-knock warrants. Similar legislation that would ban the warrants nationwide was introduced in the U.S. Congress from the Guardian. The Louisville Council bans such raids. They banned those raids, right? U.S. House Democrats have also approved a bill that would ban no-knock warrants in federal law enforcement and strip funding from local police departments that did not follow the suit. So the police don't, they keep doing the no-knock they're gonna get lose money. They proposed a Senate bill that would do the same. Rand Paul has proposed a Senate bill that would do the same. This is indicative of how bad, how wrong this situation is, or is it? Because they went right to the legislation and said, hey, we absolutely can't let anything like this happen again. Anyway. The tangled legal doctrine that applies to Kentucky and 28 other states, they said. There is no specific law in these jurisdictions addressing police shooting in self-defense, which means officers have the same rights and obligations as any resident. Protect yourself, right? Yet police have the unique power to initiate violence by knocking down the door of a private home in the middle of the night that other people don't. Okay, all right, okay. But there is a law governing, right? This is from provocative thought. There is a law governing requesting a no-knock search warrant, which is what sanctioned law enforcement being there in the first place. As I said on the other show, this case, and as one of my sources on the show said, this case hinges on did the police have the legal right to be there? Right? They say in most states don't allow someone to claim self-defense when they are an aggressor. But most states also say that when the police are acting in their official capacity, they can't be aggressors for purposes of self-defense law. Anyway. So both Walker and the policeman can reasonably claim self-defense, and the law makes it virtually impossible to define an aggressor in this situation, because those guys are doing their job, and they don't know who they are. They're coming in. They didn't announce themselves. They don't look like cops. Next thing I know, my door's coming off the hinges. I shot, right? You have a right to defend yourself, right? A kind of self-defense state stalemate, they said. That leaves a lot of questions as to what charges a prosecutor could bring in Taylor's case and could even lead to the end of the no-knock raid in American policing. Well, as you see, they're passing laws, right? The Castle Doctrine. Legal experts say the officers involved in Taylor's shooting, Sergeant Mattingly, Hankinson, and Cosgrove, right, certainly can be arrested. Prosecutors wield tremendous discretion in their decisions to bring charges and probable cause. The legal standard of proof needed for arrest is an exceedingly low bar, said Colin Mirror, a professor at the University of South Carolina School of Law, researching the Kentucky Criminal Code on behalf of lawyers representing Taylor's family. If you have a shooting death, it's going to be pretty difficult to argue you can't at least change some type of charge, some type of crime in the case. You got a death. Somebody got to be responsible for that, especially if an unarmed person. Unarmed black person, I guess it don't make much of a difference. I don't know. Whether it be endangerment, manslaughter, or murder, the Taylor case is complicated by the so-called Castle Doctrine, which traces the 17th century English common law. It gives people in every state except Vermont and Washington, D.C., the right to use deadly force against an intruder in their home with no duty to retreat. In Kentucky law, the protections do not allow someone to harm police officers who enter their home as long as the officers announce themselves or the homeowner reasonably should have known they were police. This is how Walker was initially arrested and charged with attempted murder of a police officer for opening fire first. Those charges were dropped in May. The officers, in turn, took gunfire in a place their search warrant gave them legal permission to enter. They had a search warrant that gave them legal permission to enter. Or did they? Seemingly, that would seemingly provide them a self-defense jurisdiction for shooting back inside, right? They was supposed to be there. They was doing their job. You shot at me, I shot back at you, right? Tell us home, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, officers can evoke self-defense even if their behavior was objectively unsafe or likely to provoke a violent response. So that sounds like if the officer is whipping your butt and you defend yourself and start whipping his butt, he can defend himself. But the gunfire involved more than just officers and Walker. Police fired more than 20 rounds into Taylor's home, missing Walker and instead hitting Taylor as she stood in her hallway. Several of the officers' bullets also entered a neighbor's house, right? According to the images shared by the Taylor family lawyer and the civil lawsuit filed by the neighbor. So they got some stuff going up against them here, right? The suit accuses the officers of spraying bullets into the apartment complex with a total disregard for the value of human life. Now, what do y'all think? I'm in your house. I'm at the front door. As a man approaching the front door, he shoots me in the leg. He's close enough to shoot me, right, in the leg. I shoot 6 times. I don't hit nothing. My buddy shoots 2 to 4 times. He don't hit nothing. He don't hit the man with the gun. The only person that gets hit is the unarmed female in the hallway. Does that sound like these guys are looking at a target? Or does that sound like they recklessly shoot into the apartment? Brett Hankinson, the only one of the 3 officers involved in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor, was fired, right, as we know, right? Kentucky law specifically says that even if a person had a valid self-defense jurisdiction justification, the protection doesn't extend to wanton, right, behavior. Wanton means like it's unethical. You did something just wait a minute, that should not have happened. Like blindly shooting into a house, okay? Essentially defined as knowing something is extremely dangerous and doing it anyway in a reckless manner. I think we all can agree to shoot blindly in a house, from outside of a house or within a house, right? It's reckless. Right? If a jury found the officer's conduct was wanton, directly causing the death of an innocent person, then that is murder under Kentucky law. And self-defense would not be a viable defense, Miller said. Here's why we need Breonna to be criminal. But it doesn't make sense to me still, because even if she was a part of the drug ring, no, it does make sense, because we're going to go get into that. Because they trying to say she, but they never indicated that she was part of it. Now they want her to be a part of it, so that kind of helps their case. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Michael Mannheimer, a law professor at Northern Kentucky University, said the more realistic charge may be manslaughter rather than wanton murder. It's a somewhat squeamish distinction in state law, but generally, wanton murder charges require a mindset of depraved indifference. Well, I don't know. If I'm outside your house and I'm shooting at you, yeah, that sounds like depraved indifference. But no, they're saying that depraved indifference might be a little different. It's like if you just come into a bar and just start spraying it. That's depraved. You don't give a, you know, about nothing. Right? This is not very technical, but the best way to think of it is manslaughter is when you recklessly, your You are reckless and you kill somebody. Depraved indifference is when you're really, really reckless and you kill someone. I don't know what really, really means. That sounds like some Donald Trump stuff. But, you know, grossly reckless. So, you know, you go in a bar, you spray the whole bar, you're looking for one person, you don't care who you hit. That sounds like the same thing to me. An example is to imagine a person walking into a crowded room and firing wildly in all directions unprovoked. That reflects a more depraved state of mind. We know that's first degree murder. The difference in punishment if convicted are substantial. 5 to 10 years in prison for manslaughter, but 20 years to life in prison for wanton murder, which is technically also punishable by death. Here's why they need Brianna to be a part of the drug syndicate. This is why they need her to be it. Even though they still lied on the warrant. Officer Britt Hankinson was fired, right? They say he was fired because he violated police policy on the use of deadly force. Here we have a woman who's dead, right? We got a, they came to her house, right? Knocked the door down. Her boyfriend fired one shot. These heroes shot 18 to 20 times because they were shooting, responding to their own gunfire. And if they were looking, and I suggest that you guys watch the cops on television. I see those guys, they always looking at the target, pointing their weapon at the target, looking to see what the target is doing. At least they do that. These guys could not have been looking anywhere in order to miss the man with the gun. Something is very suspicious about what's going on here. Right? Yet, anyway, that Meredith Hankinson being fired, but he put everybody's life in jeopardy. Brianna, boyfriend, and the neighbors. Because a bullet went in a neighbor's house. Anyway, Hankinson's attorney, he claims, he's disputing his claims, calling it firing a cowardly political act. He believes that Hankinson was fired as a political act, somebody trying to appease us, you know, the crowd or political interest, right? Political move, right? Brett Hankinson violated department policy on the use of deadly force, recklessly, wantonly, and blindly firing 10 shots into the teller's apartment without a clear line of sight. That is a cowardly act in and of itself. His bullet struck Brianna. That if his bullet struck Brianna, that's 20 years to life in prison or death. So this is what they're fighting for. Madeline and Costco recklessly fired in the home. This is what Provocative Thought is saying. I want to be clear on that. It's not coming from a news person. This is my theory. Mattingly and Cosgrove recklessly fired in the home, evidenced by not one bullet from the officers in the home struck the only person or target who presented a lethal threat and fired a gun. Not one bullet. And between them, there were 6 to 8 bullets shot and in the home, in close proximity. Now, we don't know if Madeline and Cosgrove bullets entered another home as they recklessly fired their weapon, so they could have. You know, I don't know what kind of homes they were, but let's just put it this way. The bullet could go through the wall, the adjoining wall, depending on how the house is made. One thing for sure, they did not hit the person who fired in their direction. it could be argued that they are at least guilty of manslaughter if their bullet struck Brianna, because they recklessly shot while in the home, leaving and, you know, trying to get out of there. They were retreating from their own gunfire because, man, only shot once. After that first shot went off, everything else was them. If they did not have a legal right to be there, that would be a major issue. Did they get the warrant under false pretenses by lying to the judge? Did they? Louisville police detective presented Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge Mary Shaw with a stack of 5 search warrant applications for her approval, according to the court records, right? They were for locations linked to Glover, a convicted felon suspected of supplying a local drug house. One of the places to be searched was Taylor's apartment. Police said Glover used Taylor's residence as his current home address. As of February 20th. A check of various online computer databases had been receiving mail there. Right? A 3-page affidavit for a search warrant written by Detective Joshua C. James states the detective said he saw Glover walk directly into Taylor's apartment in mid-January and leave a short time later with a package. Ooh, yeah, that's nefarious right there. So are you people walking into somebody's house? Are you hustlers when you're walking into your people's house? Don't take any packages out. Don't bring any gifts and don't accept none, because according to these guys, got you down as moving drugs. Anyway, he then drove straight to a known drug house, James said. Taylor's car, detectives noted, had been seen parked outside another alleged drug house linked to Glover on different occasions. The affidavit did not document any activity regarding Taylor or her residence in March, which is when they raided the house. The detective who applied for the warrant was put on administrative reassignment, Joshua C. James, right? Besides, let me see. Besides seeking approval for the searches, police wanted the judge to give them permission to execute the warrants without having to knock on the door, meaning, you know, we ain't got to knock, we ain't got to announce nothing. We just can bust your door down. Such extreme tactics are supposed to be reserved for cases in which police fear suspects may try to arm themselves or are considered likely to destroy the evidence or maybe even run away, right? Police are supposed to precisely articulate for judges why such actions are needed in a given case. It's very important right here. Police are supposed to precisely articulate, say, right, state to the judge why such actions are needed in a given case. For each 5 warrants, James used identical language seeking to justify the no-knock entry. So that basically means there's a drug, suspected drug house. He used the same language for that as he did for Brianna's house. The drug traffickers have a history of attempting to destroy evidence, have cameras on locations that compromise the detectives once an approach to the dwelling is made, and have a history of fleeing from law enforcement, according to the police affidavit for a search warrant for the raid. There's no cameras on Brianna's apartment, right? The warrant does not specifically connect Taylor to any alleged drug activity. All right? Taylor was never involved in narcotics and disputed the facts of the Baker, Taylor's lawyer said she was never involved in narcotics, as the the brother, Mr. Glover, testified and disputed the facts of the warrant, saying it was based on lies of the police department, right? The warrant alleged that one of the men may have been keeping narcotics and or proceeds at Teller's address. Police said they verified through multiple databases that Teller lived at the address. Police also said they verified through a U.S. postal inspector that the man had been receiving packages at Teller's home as of February 20th, January, February, March. Okay. Here's the location as his home address, according to the warrant. He no longer lived there. At the time they raided these houses, he no longer lived there or stayed or was there. He was no longer in a relationship with her. Baker pointed to the article published by the CNN affiliate WDRB, in which Louisville Postal Inspector Tony Gooden said Metro Police did not use his office to verify that a drug suspect was receiving packages at Teller's apartment. It is possible that the police had asked a male inspector from another jurisdiction of the U.S. Postal Inspection Service for help, but added that his office almost surely would have been notified of an outside agent's involvement. Okay? So what the hell does that mean? Okay, that means he lied to get the warrant. From Law Insider, administrative reassignment means paid leave status, which an appointing authority may authorize for a city officer or employee in his or her department or office, which such employee is the cause of or subject of or otherwise significantly affected by an active official investigatory process related to alleged violations of personnel rules, right? City ordinances or state and federal laws and or regulations or an investigation intended to determine the employee's fitness for duty. I'd say lying to get a warrant is a violation of regulations. And it's indicative of someone's being unfit for duty. Sounds like the police did not have a legal right to search Brianna's home because Joshua James did not tell the truth when requesting a no-knock search warrant for her home. That is why he is on administrative reassignment. Right? See the plot thickening here? Why else would the judge that ordered the no-knock warrant for Breonna Teller's home feel so bad about what had happened? Simply because she would not have authorized a no-knock warrant for Breonna's home if Joshua James had told the truth. See, these cops wouldn't be in this situation. If James lied to get the order, he is not fit for duty and is fit for prosecution for his part in what led to the murder of Breonna Teller. That's what I think. Anyway, hours after Shaw signed the warrant, police began the operation conducting near simultaneous raids at various locations. Teller's apartment, according to police, was considered a less volatile, soft target. As such, police commanders decided in advance to have officers knock and announce their presence before entry. That decision was communicated in a pre-operational briefing, right? They huddled together, said, this is how we're going to do this. According to a source familiar with the details of the operation, who requested not to be revealed due to the ongoing investigation. From NBC News, an officer staking out Breonna's house, right, told the officers that Teller was home alone watching television. I mentioned that in the other on the other show about the Breonna Taylor. So that's bad. That's poor intel. So what was this guy doing? Buying pizza? Going out visiting his girlfriend? What was he doing? You know, sleeping on a job? Why didn't he know who was in that property? That was his job, right? Who's in the house? You're sitting outside the house. Why didn't he know who was in the house? This guy is incompetent, or he was lying. Either way you put it, he is unfit for the job. That's not intelligence. That's not intelligent at all to be on the job, as having a job as simple as watching to see who comes into this house. Anyway, nothing about this seems intelligent to me anyway. So it just seems like people doing what they want to do because they're used to doing what they want to do and getting away with it. But they had some poor intel. I don't know. They should be going up in that guy's jaw for saying that. And Jane. But then again, they might be in support of Jane. Who knows? Somebody's in support of it. So I don't know if the team is that close to the investigatory part of this case. Anyway, Christopher Slobigan, director of the Vanderbilt Law School Criminal Justice Program, says the crux of the case rests on the warrant that brought police to the door. As I was saying previously, I'm not an attorney, and you know I don't play one on television, but I don't think I'd be a genius to kind of like put some of this stuff together. Okay. So, he questions the boilerplate language police used to obtain the no-knock warrant, which he said does not meet constitutional standards. All right. That could throw the force police used that night into question, he said. All right, you're not supposed to be there. And you're breaking down somebody's door. You're coming in under illegally, basically. And you're kicking the door down. 5 warrants related to the drug case obtained for different addresses use virtually identical language, including the warrant for the search of Teller's apartment, and ended with a request for a no-knock entry to the premise due to the nature of how these drug traffickers operate. But if there's no drug trafficking being done at Breonna's house, she's not a drug trafficker. She's not named as a drug trafficker. You think that she's home by herself. What's going on? You went to this guy's house. You know he's not there. So you already know, our main man is not there. Right, so you knew the Glover wasn't there. I mean, they knew Glover wasn't there. Right? They used the same virtually the identical language. That tells me that he changed a couple of words, but basically they were all saying the same thing. He did. He was lazy, or maybe he wasn't lazy. Maybe he just wanted to language it the way he did so that he can get the no-knock warrant for Breonna's house. Maybe he wasn't lazy. Anyway, so if these guys not supposed to be there legally, they have a serious problem. Hence the plea deal offered to the ex-boyfriend if he says Breonna Taylor is a part of this drug organization. See how the plot thickens? And he's doing this. This is kind of, to me, it's kind of overt because, you know Glover's going to tell somebody what you guys offered him. and it's documented. Like, I don't get it. I mean, if you look at it in terms of justice, it's scary. Because we got people running around doing what they want to do, any way they want to do it, breaking the law, whatever. Just because they can't. Just because they're in a habit of doing it. They're in a culture that does it. They're in a system that allows them to do it. And if there's a system that allows people to do that, some people, all people, most people, I don't care what the percentage is. I hear people like to talk about these percentages. The hell with the percentages. This is law enforcement. And if you want people to respect the law, you know what? You got to put some people out there representing the law that can be trusted, that can be respected. You can't have police going around making up things, trying to put people in jail just because they want to, just because they can. This is a problem. And you know, the problem is not the rioting. I'm not saying the rioting, the protesting, the rioting, and the looting is not a problem. But those are symptoms of an issue, a very serious issue that we have in this country with the police, policing, so the judicial system, and even the legislative system. And of that, people have lived with this forever. We came here under this system. So even if you are justified in using deadly force, if you were the one who was wrong in the first place, right, being there, right, a warrant obtained under false pretenses, right, illegally, right, you don't get to use justification, right? So, if the police are not justified in getting the warrant, they cannot say that they are justified in using deadly force at a home where they shouldn't be. If the police are not justified in getting the warrant, they cannot say that they are justified in using deadly force at a home where they shouldn't be, not to mention spraying the place down from the outside. Now that just compounds it. You're not supposed to be there and you're spraying the building like you're dealing with some Mad Dog Jake Bubba Coles type person. Are you kidding? And they did lie and had no proof about the postal inspector assisting in the case. But they told the judge the postal inspector was involved. That's unverifiable by the postal inspector. Right? He said even if they had asked somebody else, which sounds even more incompetent, more stupid, right? Even if they ask another postal inspector from another, what that? This is just sound like, it's just sounding like crazy. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's more people involved to be charged in this case than just those three police officers, because those guys were set up. Now, if they wasn't a part of the front end of this case, and all they got was the warrant. You know what I'm saying? If they're just part of the warrant unit and they're going out to make this bus, they wasn't a part of the front end of the case or how this dude went about getting a warrant and things like that. If they knew how he went about getting a warrant, then they're just as guilty. But it seems like it's more people need to be. I'm only hearing the possibility in the conversation about three people. The three shooters, you know. But here we have a guy that lied to a judge to get a warrant, to get a specific type of warrant. All they had to do was walk up to that lady's house while she was home, knock on the door. Hey,
My name is so-and-so. I'm Officer, you know, Mantling. I'd like to speak with you for a minute. If you want, you don't mind. Go in the house. Oh, I have a search warrant. Some files, blase, blase. They could have did that if they had a warrant. I don't even know how they got the warrant. But we know how they got the warrant. But still, why would you do that? I mean, to me, people do things like that because they're in the habit of doing it. Because that's not a small thing to do. So, as I said previously, and as the professor said, the crux of the case rests on the warrant that brought police to the door. Now, if you follow the case, you're going to look to see if the conditions that they said was there originally disappeared. Somebody changed their mind. If just changes start going in favor of the police officers, and all of a sudden, Brianna becomes a legitimate suspect. If you see that happening, right, it's no hope. There's no hope. If somebody let that happen, let that kind of type of thing go down, there is no hope for us in this country. As a matter of fact, if that wherever that kind of thing is going down, they should be on it. I mean, it's been going on for so long. I don't even know why I'm saying they should be on it. They already know it's going. This can't be a secret. This was documented. The investigative reporters found it out. It's not a big secret. So it's just something apparently that people do that they in the habit of getting away with doing. So, I suspect that scenario would have to change to provide absolute evidence that the U.S. Postal Inspection Service did verify that a drug suspect was receiving packages at Taylor's apartment. Look for that. Then you know it's corruption. They're doing what they want to do, right? Of course, it would be suspect after the U.S. Postal Service stated they had no knowledge of this, right? Remember, about 5 months had passed, and no one has been arrested and charged with the murder of Brianna Taylor. Strangely enough, it is Brianna Taylor that they are trying to convict of a crime. That's sad. It's a cold, sad day in this country. And it makes you wonder, you know, how often has something like this occurred? What are they waiting for? Are they trying to wait to wait anybody out? And our defendant says what they do is they wait, like they did with the what's the brother's name? They got choked in New York. They waited, put the guy on death duty for 4 years. They just wait till some of the juice, you know, is out of the some of the tension is out of the situation. Wait. You can handle it. We'll handle it. Let's get everybody calmed down. Wait. Okay. All right, nobody's looking. Not that many people's looking. Not that many people paying attention. That's from this case. You know, and then they're going to do what they got to do. He said, they're going to just wait you out. Because people are going to forget about it. Like it was last year's fashion. And it's sad. Anyway. So, that's the post-mortem crucifixion of Brianna Taylor. She doesn't deserve that. Nobody deserves anything like that. These guys need to stop doing that. They appear to be doing that with everybody, all these unarmed people who get killed. They're going to this
how bad of a person they was, which I guess translates to the hell what they like wasn't worth a damn no ways. Goodbye, good riddance. This guy wasn't worth being on a planet. I guess depending on which eyes you're looking at this through or how you feel, you might be in agreement with that. I'm not. If you're the law, act like you're the law. Represent the law. You want people to trust you and respect you, you have to be trustworthy. Can't be lying and covering up. You have to be respectful. Can't be lying and covering up. And it's not just law enforcement, because here you can see the DA acting very, proceeding and acting very suspiciously. That's putting it nicely. So that's the crucifixion of Breonna Taylor. Trying to kill her, Lexi, to save three police officers who apparently shot recklessly into the house. It's just that one was on the outside. This is my opinion. One shot recklessly from the outside. Two shot recklessly from the inside. That's the only reason why Kenneth Walker didn't get hit, because those chumps were scared. All right. Until next week, y'all. You know, maybe I keep coming with these subjects. I don't know. This stuff just keep happening is why I keep coming with these stories. But I hope to switch it up a little bit, lighten up on the subject matter. So this is a little, it seems like we live in a dark world, and I'm going to try to search for something we can talk about that's a little more pleasant. I want to thank all the police officers who actually do their job, who may be fearful, but are not, who may have fear, but are not fearful, and it doesn't impact on how they perform their job. I'm going to say thanks, you guys, and I heard some stories about some cops that did some rescues and stuff like that, interacted with the community, that's not even based on law enforcement. It's just getting to know people in the community, which you should be doing, because those people in the community can save your life one day. So you shouldn't be around patrolling a community. You alienate yourself from the people in that. If you alienate yourself from the people in that community, because that creates distrust. Until next one, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out. See y'all next Saturday. I want to thank Kim Jones.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.